Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
Najee Harris talking to the media. And take a listen as a typical stupid media asking a question, basically saying, like, it looked effortlessly out there.
You see what they were doing? They were blowing my ass up. What are you talking about? It wasn't effortlessly. I'll tell you what. They were blowing my ass up. Are you tripping?
And they run through our like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell. We have been talking a lot about what's going on with the Dogs. Going to talk to our man Connor Riley from Dog Nation coming up here in just a sec. If you're just joining us, more conversation on the Falcons at 5 with the general manager search, with three finalists that we know of. More about the coaching search and where some of these other guys are interviewing as we speak. No Hawks game tonight, as that game has been postponed with the Suns, Mike. They say they will make it up. We just don't know at what point that's going to happen in the season. Hawks on the road, So their next game will be against Utah on Friday night. So no Hawks game again because of COVID-19 and contact tracing. All right, let's talk some Dogs, man, because there's a lot going on. Today, first day of classes, and it also means early enrolling for a lot of the guys that Kirby Smart and his company has brought in. Connor Riley's joined us now for the last few months from Dog Nation to help us kind of break down what's going on with the Dogs on a week-to-week basis, even leading up to the bowl game. And, Connor, it's good to have you back on the show. Let's talk about all the guys that have made a decision to come back and what kind of impact that's going to have on this Dog football program.
Yeah, the latest guy to do that is Zamir White. He announced today that he, too, had unfinished business. He joins a longer list of players coming back than a list of juniors electing to go pro. I believe right now the only two to elect to do that are center Trey Hill and outside linebacker Aziz Ojulari. And, I mean, you only have to look back to Monday night to see the sort of impact that getting draftable juniors, which I believe a lot of these guys would have been, to come back for your senior year, the impact that has on a team. Najee Harris would have been drafted in the 2020 NFL draft if he came out. He did not. He scored 30 touchdowns this season. Devontae Smith sort of had the same thing with him. He won the Heisman Trophy. I think as in the modern age of college football, these elite teams get draftable players, which I think JT Daniels would have been. I think Zamir White would have been. I think James Cook would have been. When you get these types of players back, it only helps you next season when the talent gap is already what it is. So getting NFL-able players to be on your college football team should be seen as an absolute win, like it is with Zamir White announcing today that he will be back.
Right. We talked about everybody else coming back. I mean, you've got some dudes, man, that, again, I just thought, for instance, like, was it Jordan Davis? You know, and that was kind of cool because that's what you really need if you're going to beat, Clemson. Think about this. When the lights are bright, starting the game in Charlotte, JT Daniels, now you get the running game is secure. How good is the offensive line going to go? Cleveland obviously moving on, but how strong are you? What's your area? Do you have an area of concern when you look ahead to next season?
So secondary is sort of the easy one to look at, just given all that they are set to lose at that position. But with the way college football has been played these last couple of years, and Georgia had a great secondary this year, and it didn't really seem to matter against a great offense. That's why, hey, if there is one area of concern for me, it's the offensive line. Cleveland and Trey Hill were, I think, your two best offensive linemen, and there were a couple games late in the year when JT Daniels was at quarterback that the offensive line was just not up to championship caliber. The Mississippi State game and the Cincinnati game, Georgia finished with fewer than 50 rushing yards total in that game. And as great as Najee Harris and Devontae Smith and Mac Jones were, Alabama had the best offensive line in the country this season, and you're very naive if you don't think that played a huge impact in Alabama doing what it did and dominating in the fashion that it did this season. So for me, if there's one thing I want to see Georgia really improve on going into next year, it is that offensive line spot.
Okay, so offensive line obviously is going to open up, you know, the run game and some of the things we're talking about, Connor. But what about the explosive plays? Mm-hmm. When you look at what Alabama was able to do, a lot of it had to do with the down-the-field explosive plays. And, you know, Georgia has the players that are capable. This is the one question I'll ask now. I'll ask all offseason to you and everybody else. How does Georgia create that? Because if they don't have those things, I don't care about what everybody else wants with the run game. We need explosive plays to win a national championship.
Yeah, you are absolutely right there, and I hope to answer that question time and time again. I think Steve Sarkisian called a fantastic game on Monday night, and a lot of it is going to come down to Todd Monken and his scheme. And I think you saw in that Cincinnati game, while it wasn't necessarily there in the run game, Georgia was hitting on those big explosive pass plays. George Pickens had a 51-yard catch. Arian Smith had a 55-yard catch. The point you make there, Carl, is explosive plays win you games. It's a lot easier to move the ball up and down the field and score points if you're rattling off a 40-yard play every four, five, six plays, as opposed to trying to matriculate the ball down the field, like I think we sort of saw Ohio State have to do against Alabama to score. When you're able to hit those big plays, it makes everything easier. It increases the margin of error you're allowed to have, because you could have eight not great plays in a row, but if every ninth play you're hitting a big play and scoring a touchdown, it doesn't really matter what happened on those previous eight plays. So JT Daniels has to continue to improve as a deep ball passer, and I think Todd Monken needs to continue to evolve and improve this scheme to where you are consistently getting guys open and creating big plays down the field.
It is Connor Riley with his guys here on the WadeFord.com hotline. He's got an article in Dog Nation, the latest Georgia football roster movement regarding the draft, transfer portal, and returnees. And Carl just asked you about Monken and the offense. We thought going into this year, based on how it ended, that George Pickens would be a guy that would be one of the elite wide receivers in college football.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get you inside his head, but, I mean, maturity always is a phrase which pops in. This guy physically should be, and now with JT Daniels, you got a delivery system that can get you the rock. So is his game going next level this season?
That's the thing for him. If he's on the field and he has good quarterback play, which he did when JT Daniels was a quarterback, you saw what he could do. You saw what he could do in the Missouri game. He made big plays against Cincinnati, over 100 yards, I believe, in both of those games there. The biggest thing with George is availability with George is the best ability that he has to improve on this season. He has to be on the field. He was not on the field against Florida, and I believe he was not on the field against Kentucky, and Georgia's passing offense really suffered in that game. Mike, you mentioned, just from a talent perspective alone, he is clearly one of the most gifted wide receivers in college football, both this season, and I absolutely think that next season. If he's able to stay on the field and continue to make plays, and he was able to do that with JT Daniels at quarterback, the sky is the limit for this kid. He just has to figure out a way to, you know, not necessarily get out, you know, find a way to get out of his own way and be on the field. That way he can make those jaw-dropping plays that we've seen him do time and time again.
Connor Riley, our guest, guys. We're talking college football. The rumor out there, I don't know if it's been confirmed, but Alabama's going to hire Bill O'Brien. I'm just curious about your thoughts there. And you know, we keep thinking there's going to be some fall off. We know he, being Saban, had the number one class again this year. Recruiting class, and now you're bringing in another offensive coordinator, not Georgia related, but it kind of is, because they're still in the way of what Georgia wants to get accomplished. What do you think about that hire, if in fact it is going to happen? And the rumors are that it's going to.
Yeah, Georgia has to beat Alabama to ascend to the summit of the mountain that they are trying to climb. And you know, as much as Bill O'Brien was a punching bag for his time at Houston, especially the way things ended there and what he was able to do, do you guys remember the name Christian Hackenberg? Former quarterback drafted by the New York Jets, was not very good in late stages of his career at both Penn State and then obviously at the NFL level. But when Bill O'Brien was working with him as the head coach at Penn State, everyone thought Hackenberg was going to be the next number one overall pick. And then ultimately O'Brien goes to work for Houston. And I think, you know, as much as things didn't end well there, he did a tremendous job with Deshaun Watson and helping him develop. I know, you know, some people can make jokes, and they're certainly able to do that, but Bill O'Brien is still a really, really good offensive mind. He's worked with Tom Brady. He's worked with elite quarterbacks before. I think it might – you certainly won't see this Alabama offense be as good as it was this season next season. But they still have a ton of talent. Bryce Young is as hyped as any quarterback has been in recent seasons, outside of maybe Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. While it might not be there at the beginning of the season, I think by the end of the season, maybe the SEC championship game, when Alabama and Georgia theoretically could play, Alabama's going to have it figured out. As long as Saban is still the coach there at Alabama, he's shown that he knows how to adapt and win in a college game better than, quite frankly, anyone has ever been able to.
It is our man Connor Riley, guys, from Dog Nation here on the waitfor.com hotline. By the way, Dog Report brought to you by our buddies at Brightbox, B-R-I-T-E, brightboxelectrical.com, for man caves, home automation, generators, they got it all. And, you know, we were talking earlier in the show about the odds for next year, and George is right there on many of the prognosticator sites as, 10 to 1, 14 to 1, in some cases 8 to 1. The division is so winnable. South Carolina's turned it over. You know, it just sounds like the Gamecocks and Shane Beamer's going to lose a stud quarterback for next year's draft class. You know, Tennessee's in turmoil, although they've added Steele. The Gators, how good are the Gators going to be? Because that's also, we talk about Alabama. You got to win the cocktail party. Didn't do that this year.
Yeah, Georgia has to do that. Before they get to Alabama, they have to once again beat Florida. And Florida does bring back some interesting pieces on defense. Brenton Cox, Zachary Carter, a very good defensive lineman that played well against Georgia this season. And Dan Mullen, for all you want to say about how he handles PR and what he says in front of a microphone, he's still a very good offensive mind. Florida might not have the offense they had this season, but they're still going to have a good offense. I think the question for Georgia is, the offense was at its worst last year against Florida. You would expect it to be much, much better next year. And with Florida, no Trask, this team was just a fundamentally different team without Kyle Pitts when he was on the field this season. They have to replace Kadarius Toney as well. They have some young, interesting talent there, but Emory Jones or Anthony Richardson, the guy that is replacing Kyle Trask, is going to be a very different quarterback. And next year, quite frankly, I don't think he'll be quite as good as what Trask was able to do for most of this season. So Florida takes a small step back from, a top 10 team to, I think, a top 25 team. And Georgia should absolutely be able to take advantage and beat them next season in Jacksonville.
Who's going to be the best player on the defensive side of the ball, at least projected to be, right? We talked a lot about Richard LeCount, and then he had the motorcycle accident and obviously, wasn't able to help the team as much as we thought. Who is that guy next season for the Dogs, in your mind, at least projecting to be the guy, the best player on the defensive side of the ball?
From a sort of football nerd and not looking at stat sheets perspective, it's Jordan Davis. There is not a better run defender in college football. Teams just cannot run on Georgia when he is on the field. And he was also not playing in that Florida game later on in the season there. But from a statistical perspective, I think Adam Anderson is a guy to really watch, a guy that really came on over the course of the season in sort of limited pass rushing opportunities. 6.5 sacks this past season, and a guy that is just quick as heck off the edge in terms of getting to the passer, a real disruptive player, and someone who I think with more opportunity next season, it wouldn't surprise me to see Adam Anderson end up with double-digit sacks. So from the stat perspective, common fan, I think Adam Anderson is a name you could hear a lot next season. From the true football fan perspective, no one does more, I think, for a defense than Jordan Davis will for Georgia next season.
All right, man. It's JT Daniels' time. We asked you this earlier, so I'll just ask it again because it always gets Dog fans fired up. If Daniels was healthy, you're going to see it through against Alabama? Obviously, we already talked about the Florida game. If JT Daniels was healthy from Jump Street, where was Georgia going this last year?
I think Georgia, if JT Daniels is healthy through the entire season, we see sort of what we saw at the end of this year, I think Georgia's maybe the second or third best team. I don't think there's a big difference between Georgia and Ohio State, even Clemson for that matter as well, with JT Daniels at the helm. But I don't know how you see what you saw on Monday night and just think any team was beating Alabama this season, including a Georgia team with JT Daniels. This Alabama team, when they brought their A game, was just so good, so impressive. Certainly, I think they beat this LSU team just because I think their offensive line is a little bit better. And one of the great college football teams of my lifetime that I remember this Alabama team being.
I agree. We appreciate the time. As always, Connor, great stuff. We will talk to you next week. And as this thing continues to, we figure out more and more about what's going on with the Dog program and the SEC and more on these teams in this offseason. And there's a lot to get to, man. So we appreciate the time. We'll talk soon.
Yep. Thanks, guys, for having me on. Always a pleasure.
You got it. Hey, Carl, you see the breaking news in the NBA?
I have, and that's why I let Connor go a little bit early because I wanted to dive into this, which we will. It is done. Harden is traded. Where and what? We're going to talk about it when we come back. All right, before we talk to the voice of our Atlanta Hawks, bang, Steve Holman, monster trade, mega trade. And there are a lot of moving parts, so just continue to listen as Mike and I will try to break this down over the next few hours. But the main guy is James Harden. After his statements last night, basically saying, I've done everything I can do and we're not fixable, the Rockets have moved him. They've traded him to the Nets, not the 76ers, which was thought to be the
place. Right.
So he will join because Kyrie, at least according to the various reports, Mike, that I see, is not a part of this. He will join KD, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie in Brooklyn. Just the base of this is the Nets are trading to get Harden, sending four first-round picks and four draft swaps with the Rockets. Now, there's another moving part of this, and this just came down, that the Pacers, they're the other team involved, are moving Victor Oladipo to the Rockets for a package that's considered to be around Caris LeVert. So there's other parts of this, but basically the Rockets are going to get Victor Oladipo. They're going to get a blank ton of picks. And the Nets
all unprotected, by the way, right?
Correct. And the Nets are going to get James Harden for a win-now moment, which is what Brooklyn is shooting for. There's a lot of moving parts again, but, guys, this is just literally happening. And Mike and I want to, you know, fill you in, but it's not going to take just a few minutes. This is something we got to analyze and look at. And I can't even tell you, you know, if the Rockets got in return what they're giving up. But I got to tell you, you know, we always talk about draft capital, Mike. That's a lot for the Rockets.
Dude, the Nets haven't been this exciting since I was a kid and Dr. J was there and Kevin Lockery was coaching him. And
but
Steve Holman.
And
Steve, we'll talk to Steve about it. I mean, we're talking like when I was a kid, it was like what, John Williamson and Sven Nader. Okay, that's the last time the Nets had this much juice, man. Now, the only question is, how is the New York media going to react? These guys don't win at all. You know what I mean? Because Harden and Houston's a tough town, but the New York media, holy cow, if there's any kind of issues with Kyrie, if things get sideways, it'll be blown up exponentially, as you know, in the Big Apple.
All right, Steve Holman is the voice of our Hawks. Hawks do not play tonight. Their game has been postponed due to COVID-19. Steve, your initial thoughts about this blockbuster deal?
Well, I mean, and you forgot to mention that Hawks legend Torian Prince got sent to Cleveland in that deal, too.
Yes.
You know, on the face of it, you know, Harden going there to be reunited with Durant is a good thing, I think, for both of them. The Kyrie Irving thing, though, who knows what's going to happen with that? I mean, he's been a dumpster fire with the Celtics and now with the Nets. And, you know, I mean, and Harden's had his problems in Houston. And I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, that's poor Steve Nash. I mean, that's his first year as a head coach.
Right.
I mean, and he's look at the group that they've handed him now. I mean, they're all talented and everything, but I mean, you might need Dr. Joyce Brothers in there to handle that team, or Dr. Phil, I guess we'd say now. You'd have to be only right. The old people know Dr. Joyce Brothers, but
yeah, we're gonna talk about you pounding the ball at the top of the rack. Anyway, man, it is our man again, Steve Holman here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So that's the big news today. Let's get down on our Hawks, man. What did you make? First off, everybody likes to keep stuff internal, but when the news broke in the Athletic report, is it healthy? Is it a good dialogue? What did you take from the stuff that came out that there was obviously some issues? And then we saw how, unfortunately, Trey responded after everybody tried to clean the air between him and John Collins.
Well, I think one of the things, Mike, we have to remember is that, you know, our core five guys are all 23 and under. I mean, just let's all think back to when we were under 23, you know, where we were, you know, stability wise and everything else. So these are kids still, you know, although they're making big money and all of that. But I think they did clear the air. I think it's a good thing. You know, John Collins and Trey are both great kids. They come from great families, you know, and I do know that they really like each other a lot. You know, and sometimes you guys know that there's a difference between liking each other and then liking each other on the court. So that's one of the things that Lloyd Pierce has got to work with right now. So that's Gowdy in the background, by the way. He thinks it's time to go for his walk. but anyway, I think everything's fine now. And I do think, you know, with all the veteran guys that we have on this team right now, that it's going to be something that they'll help with too. I mean, they'll help these guys work through it and get them to take care of business, you know, the way that they should. So,
Steve, the loss of Bogey, and you know, we don't know what the return
timetable is. But from a scoring standpoint, you know, I've been saying I think Red Velvet and obviously Cam Reddish have to pick up their scoring with Bogey out. What's your assessment there with how – who fills in that role and then who steps up?
Well, I think, you know, the bad news is, of course, that he's going to be out, what, 4 to 6 weeks probably. The good news is that we're going to get a lot more playing time for DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish. I think the two of them are going to be around here for a long, long time together. They're both going to be terrific pros. There has been, you know, thought around the NBA that Cam could be the best or second best player on this team in a couple of years. So I think that's going to be one of the benefits from it. Of course, you know, with Gallinari out now too for about another week, and, you know, hopefully maybe Rondo will be back by the weekend, by maybe Utah or the Portland game. But as they start to get all the pieces together, you know, Tony Snell came back last night. First time we saw him for a couple of minutes in action. Solomon Hill has been really terrific as one of those veteran guys that's been playing more than he probably thought he would when the season started. So I think, you know, it was going to take 10, 15 games anyway, in my mind, even if everybody was healthy, to, you know, gel and get the right chemistry. And when you add all these new guys, and we haven't seen Chris Dunn yet, and, you know, Double O is coming back or was going to come back tonight, I think, our draft pick. So, you know, it's a shorter season than 82, of course, 72, which means you have to get things together quicker. But at the same time, there's still, I think Lloyd mentioned, there's still 62 to go. So there's plenty of time to get the thing right.
It is our man Steve Holman, the longtime voice. Nobody's got more games in a row now, consecutive streak broadcasting, than this guy in the NBA. Joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. You're cool with the adjustments. They brought Nate McMillan in. I know we've been critical at times of some of the things you see in the half court. You just laid out the chemistry is going to come in time, but you like the job that Lloyd is doing.
Yeah, you know, I think he's got his hands full with all the new guys coming in at once, so it's not easy, and it hasn't been easy because the training camp situation was not what the normal one is. It was a very short training camp. I think everybody kind of got caught off guard just a little bit when the TV, you know, money decided that we had to start playing in December, Christmas. They really wanted that Christmas game. I think most people thought it would happen right around, you know, next week, Dr. King Day. That might be the start of the season. So that kind of, you know, moved everything up a little bit. And then you get all the COVID stuff that goes on. You know, these guys have to get tested every morning between 8 and 9 a.m. when they're on the road, when they're at home. You know, sometimes when they fly back, like Saturday night after the game in Portland, they're going to fly back all night because we have the Dr. King Day game at 2:30 on Monday. So they're going to land at 5:50 or 6 o'clock in the morning. First thing they're going to have to do when they get off the plane is get tested, so they could have the day off on Sunday. So it's a crazy thing. And when you look around the league too now, you know, you'll see one night there's a team that you think has no chance against another team and they'll blow them out. And then the next night the two teams might play again and things will go just the way you thought they would. So it's a crazy, you know, 2020 was a crazy year. 21 is starting out to be just as crazy. And, you know, with all these things happening, but I'm pretty sure they're going to plow through it. And I really hope that as we get, you know, weeks into this more, where the vaccine becomes a lot more available and more people get it, I think, you know, we'll get closer and closer to being back to normal. And, you know, Carl and Mike, you know, you're in Coweta County now. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to be in line at the Coweta County Fairgrounds to get my first shot tomorrow, my first vaccine. So I'm
nice.
Excited about that.
Special time to broadcast is live, Carl.
I have an 11:30 appointment for that tomorrow.
Nice. And you should be excited. I mean, honestly, you know, the it's a two-shot situation. We've talked a little bit about it on the show, so you got to wait, but you got to get started. So I'm happy for you, Steve, because you're right. You know, once we get to a point where a majority of us have that, then you're going to see things, you know, somewhat getting back to normal with at least fans being at games and having the opportunity to do all those things. Real quick, I want to ask you about, you know, defensively. It's been part of what we keep talking about, how this team's going to get better. What have you seen here early on that gives Hawks fans hope that we'll be a better defensive team as the season moves along and we get down the stretch and maybe even challenge for, you know, a playoff seed?
Well, I think that it's definitely going to improve a lot when Chris Dunn comes back, because he's arguably the best defensive guard in the league, according to, you know, most of the experts. So we'll look forward to that in the next 3-4 weeks, maybe, that he could be back. I think Rondo is going to help a lot on the defense because he, you know, even at his age and the number of years he's been 15 in the league, he knows how to play defense. He's going to It's going to rub off on other guys, too. And I think that our two kids, Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter, can really play defense. And, of course, you get Clint Capela. And now, you get Double O out here. He's 6'9". They said he was a monster out there in California when he played for USC. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him getting back and getting out there and contributing defensively. But Clint Capela has been a rebounding machine. So I really think that's all going to come in due time, too.
Well, Steve, we love catching up with you, brother, and we'll try to get you on more and more, and hopefully we'll be building on some of this chemistry, because I've never heard more buzz about the Hawks and we started 3-0, and then obviously we kind of hit some bumps in the road.
Well, I think it's going to be fine. I really do, and you guys know that I'm ready to come on with you all anytime, and us Coweta County residents have to stick together, Mike.
Steve's my neighbor, Carl. We like to go out and bring our puppies out for boozing. I mean, for lemonades.
Hey, Steve.
And I'll tell you one other thing about the vaccine, you guys. I've been trying to find for the last few years anything positive about getting old. I finally found one. You get to the front of the line to get the damn shot.
No, that's true. That is true. As they have rolled this out with different levels, and Steve falls into that. Hey, man, thanks for the time. As always, again, Hawks back in action on Friday after the postponement tonight against the Jazz. Steve Holman will have the call for you. Hey, man, we got a lot more to get to. Yeah, Man, No Man is on the way. Huge blockbuster trade in the NBA as James Harden gets his wish. He is headed to the Nets. All right, guys, plenty more to get to. Falcon Report's on the way. The latest on our general manager search. But the news of the day is in the NBA after we find out that our Hawks game has been suspended. James Harden gets traded to the Brooklyn Nets in a blockbuster deal. We'll talk more about this coming up at 5:20 today. And guys are just kind of analyzing this trade, Mike, and looking at it. And, again, some of these players you may or may not know unless you're a hardcore NBA fan. But you do know who James Harden is, and now he joins forces with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and the Brooklyn Nets, who are in a win-now mode. So when you make a move like this, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, nobody said it was going to be any math, as I said on Twitter, Carl. There's a lot of moving parts on this deal, but now all of a sudden, if you're the Bucks, and we'll talk more about it, but yeah, there's definitely now a super team in the East and all the expectations that come with it.
All right, guys, let's talk to Bo Morgan. Yeah, man, no man. Mike's got a hey man, I think, I just saw one, didn't I?
It is purely for display. It is not for consumption yet.
Okay. Well, I see it there, the empty can on your desk. As we are live on Twitch, you can go check us out there and find us on the gram at Dukesandville 929 and all social media platforms. What's going on, Bo? Oh,
I was just in the break. I was watching Mike's his camera because I can see everything, and I see the dog run in, and I see Becky run in, and I see Becky jump on the – little ottoman thing he's got behind him, and then Mike gets up and the dog starts running around. I'm just watching all of this play out.
Yeah, Carl, real quick, it was a charge, one of Becky's charges or one of her many devices, phone or something, I don't know what it was. Anyway, the dog had it, and so Becky, you can't let him chew it, so you have to reason. Now Ike, it's almost like he's got a bomb, it's like you're dealing with Dennis Hopper in what the hell was the speed. Yeah, it's like, now what do you do? So you got to make sure the dog, easy now, easy, hey buddy, let's work this out, and so that was, if you Squid Billy got to see that on the closed circuit feed as we came back from commercial.
Yeah, it was I just started laughing, and I'm like, I forget that Mike can't hear me. I'm like, close your door.
The listeners get a kick out of seeing the little guy come running in here. So we do it that way. But anyway, back to you, Squid. What you got?
Everybody loves dogs, and it is a perfect segue into my first story. So last night during the Florida Ole Miss game, Florida won, by the way, basketball, they did it was on the SEC Network, and Tom Hart was calling the game. And they threw to the studio where Peter Burns is one of the hosts of SEC Network. He's a studio. He was on the anchoring the halftime show. And they were doing one of those cut-ins. When he threw it back to Tom Hart, he asked about his dog.
Now, I kind of want to know a little bit more about Tom Hart's dog, Larry, actually.
Well, we had to put him down a few weeks ago, Peter. Thanks for asking. It's an awkward part of the conversation, but John, you got tennis shoes behind you, and that's a lot more entertaining.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I mean, all right, real quick, let's break this down from a radio and broadcasting standpoint. Did you gloss over it? Yeah, that dog, What I tell you, or do you just, you know, or you got to come clean? I mean, sometimes, Carl, it's maybe better, yes, to play along and maybe do a little white lie on this one. Holy moly.
Play along, because that you talk about killing the segment, killing momentum. Thanks, Peter. We put him down just a few days ago.
Wow. Tom Hart lives, if I'm not mistaken, Tom Hart lives here in the Atlanta area. He used to do Brave stuff with Fox Sports South. One of the funnier guys in the business, especially on Twitter. But can we hear that one more time? It's just unbelievable.
Now, I kind of want to know a little bit more about Tom Hart's dog, Larry, actually.
Well, we had to put him down a few weeks ago, Peter. Thanks for asking. It's an awkward part of the conversation, but John, you got tennis shoes behind you, and that's a lot more entertaining.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I can't get over it. It's just
Well.
That's like the time, remember you and I, we had Chip Carey on. I go, Chip, your childhood had to be so much fun. I mean, having, you know, your dad around and your grandfather's Harry. No, I didn't spend any time with him at all. Okay. I mean, that's tough. Tough to pivot from that one, Carl.
Well,
it's so true. Because, you know, when he says that right there, he's thinking about it. Well.
Yeah, Scraps was obviously struck by the blimp. It was a terrible blimp accident.
Oh, man.
Goodyear? Yeah, no, the worst.
That's just awful. Yeah. And again, I don't even know how you follow up to that. Again, with that, you know, oh, I'm so sorry. Now you're apologizing the entire broadcast. Right? Oh, sorry about what I asked about the dog earlier.
Imagine if Tom's wife and kids were listening. Mommy, why are they talking about our dead dog on TV?
Oh, damn.
Tough. It's hard, man.
That's
hard.
Tough. All right, moving right along. Let's go to the drama. We know that James Harden just got traded to the Nets, but there's been drama with Kyrie Irving at the Nets. And our good friend, one of Mike's favorite ESPN commentators, Stephen A. Smith, he had a strong take and maybe some advice for Kyrie Irving.
No, he's not. He's not worth it at all. A matter of fact, let me say this straight up and down. I think Kyrie Irving should retire.
Oh.
I think he should announce his retirement today. Clearly, you don't want to play basketball bad enough. Now, you might still want to get the $33.4 million, obviously devoid of some of the docked pay you'll receive because you haven't complied with safety protocol measures, and as a result, the league is going to determine when you come back instead of yourself, or taking personal leave and obviously forfeiting game checks or whatever the case may be. But still in all, at the end of the day, you know what, you're still going to get, you know, in excess of $20 million at the very least, even though you're on the books of $33.4 million this year. Kyrie Irving has not prioritized basketball. I'm not saying he doesn't want to play all together. I'm saying he hasn't prioritized it. And how fair is that to the Brooklyn Nets? How fair is that to Sean Marks? How fair is that to Steve Nash, a coach that he endorsed bringing on board, a coach that he wanted, a coach that he fully supported? How fair is that to his brother, Kevin Durant?
How fair is it, Carl?
He's right. He's right. The retirement thing, I don't know. He is right about prioritizing and the commitment. When you look another man in the eye and say, let's go do this, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to do your part. He don't give a damn about anybody right now but himself. And, oh, I want to mention, they just got another guy that they just traded for that feels the same way. Watch how that plays out. I know everybody right now is excited, but I'm telling you, this is just a disaster, I think, waiting to happen. And, by the way, what makes people think that Kyrie's just going to wake up tomorrow and go, you know, it's a new day. I'm going to approach things differently.
Well...
Well, I mean, there is the rub. I mean, this is what drives people crazy because, you know, it's on paper, it should be, you know, ready to rock and roll if you're a Nets fan. And I don't know where his head is at. I mean, like, he's always been a bit of a goofball, right? I mean, again, I want to be politically correct if, you know, there's some issues, if there's bipolarity or something here. But, I mean, you're getting paid. We always joke around. I joke around, I'm stealing money. This is the definition of stealing money. Come on, guys, put it together.
Yeah, I don't know, Mike. I don't know if – I think Kyrie's fine. I mean, mentally. I just think he thinks he's thinking about things differently in life now than he did. And I think a big part of this was during the summer and, you know, obviously in the spring with what happened with the social justice movement. He was one of the guys who said they shouldn't even go to the bubble, if you remember. Mm-hmm. He did not think that the NBA should be playing. So I just think he's thinking differently. But like Stephen A. said, if that's the case, that's fine. But don't cheat these other guys. That's what he's doing.
I mean,
now.
Look, everyone wrestles with issues and things, and I get it. And I can't speak. I can't walk in somebody's shoes who's dealing with things which I might not be able to get my head around. But still, there is a commitment to the team. You signed on the line to play basketball, okay? And you just said it. You got guys in that locker room, man. There's expectations too. So, yeah, man, it is kind of strange. And in New York, all the media, I mean, everybody, there's all sorts of guesswork going on. But truly, they don't really know where this is going.
All right, guys. Real quick before we get out of here. I've got some information. We don't really get political. We stay in our lanes. But Joe Biden has been naming some of his people in his cabinet. And, well, it sounds like Mike Leach is heading back to Washington. Yes, Mike Leach will be the Chief Diversity and Inclusion Director. Now, Mike Leach is a former assistant to the head coach of the Chicago Bears and former head coach of the Texas Tech football team. According to the New York Times.
Okay. There's two Mike Leaches, Carl, but I believe the one who's going to take the job is not the coach right now in Stark Vegas.
No, it is not. They are two different guys. But this is sometimes what happens when things get reported.
It just so happens that they mix the bios of different Mike Leaches to make one super Mike Leach. Because the Mike Leach that has been named to this cabinet role for Joe Biden was the lead. He was the NFL management counsel for the Chicago Bears, and he was also senior manager of labor relations for the NFL management council. Also, and he was indeed the assistant to the head coach at one point in time for the Chicago Bears. So, the Mississippi State fans that do listen to our show, it's okay. You can relax. It's not that Mike Leach. Although the New York Times tried to make one super Leach.
Ooh, a super Leach. By the way, I don't want to put you on the spot, Bo. Has anything come from the SEC about banning Miss State from a bowl game next year because of what happened in the last bowl?
No, there hasn't been anything that came out of that. But you know, Mike, that you mentioned that. That incident was very similar to kind of what happened with Miss, in some ways, what happened with Miss State Ole Miss at the end of last year when they fired Matt Luke, you know, when mm-hmm. When the player raised his leg. But yeah. I haven't even heard of any suspensions from of anything for the player who drop kicked another player and then bragged about it on social media afterwards.
Right. Some were saying, Carl, that both teams should be banned from bowl games for next year. And obviously guys that are moving on to the next whatever. But guys that are still going to be there, it sucks. But it's hard to find guys that weren't involved in that melee going down.
No, I know. That's what's crazy. I don't know, man. I'm just sitting here thinking about, that
it was
melee,
bad. It was bad.
It was bad. That's exactly right, Mike. And it was one of those guys were getting kicked. I mean, it was ugly.
Yeah, it was not one of the finer moments of the 2020 college football season. But you know what? That's all the time we have for today. If you want to sponsor a segment, reach out to our sales department. And you can be a part of Yeah Man, No Man, and all of Squid Nation. Chris.
Yeah, he's right, Carl. It's a new year, and the slate is clean. So contact the sales department. We got a bunch of stuff. Features, baby. We're the hottest show in town. Get a piece of that action, man.
No doubt about it. We're going to come back. We'll talk about the Falcons. More on this blockbuster deal. Obviously, it's win or go home, right? Now that you've made this trade and you've given up first-round picks in 22, 24, 26, it's really crazy what the Nets did. But this is what you do when you think you can get it done right now. More on this and a lot more to come on Dukes and Bell.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.